world that he has created for us in the very beginning, everything that he did make, he pronounced as being good. And we have an opportunity as we live here to enjoy these wonderful blessings. There are great allurements to us in this world, many things that we can engage in, of course, many things that we cannot. And so we do think of heaven. We think of that home that has been prepared or is being prepared for those who are faithful unto him. And so it is a wonderful world in which we live, but we want to hear of heaven. And we love to sing of heaven. And truly, we want to go there when this life is over. We're thankful for the presence of each and every one of you, especially those who are our visitors. We're glad that you have taken this opportunity to come and to be with us. We hope the time that we spend together in the next few moments will be profitable to you, as already, hopefully, the time that you have been here has been profitable. We want to remind you of our gospel meeting that is coming up next week, beginning next Sunday. It will be here before we know it, and preparations are being made for Brother Geyer as he will come from Mississippi to be with us. And we know that he is going to be prepared with fine lessons from the Word of God. So we need to be here to hear these things, to be encouraged. And perhaps you can bring some friends or relatives along. Let others know of this effort that is being put forth by the Knollwood congregation. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1, there is a statement that is made there by the inspired writer of the book of Hebrews to those that he's writing to. He had just finished in the 5th chapter in verses 12, 13, and 14 of kind of giving them a more or less a mild admonition concerning their spiritual growth. He said that they had still had need of the more elementary things to be taught unto them. They should have had grown to the point of where they were enjoying, as he puts it, solid food. But he says then in verse 1 of chapter 6, "Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God." And then in verse 2, he mentions four other things that he considers, again, the Holy Spirit would consider the foundation, that is the very beginning of someone who is a child of God. The word perfection here is also translated maturity or completeness. And this is what he is urging them to do, to leave these things, again, not forgetting about them. Of course, this is the foundation upon which we all build. But going on beyond that, there is more than simply a foundation to be laid in our spiritual houses. And he wants them to go on to perfection, go on to completion or to maturity. It is the desire of God that his children grow, that they reach a state that can be defined as maturity. And as we know, as we can look about us, and as we can see in the Word of God, he has provided for us all things that are needful for that process to take place within us. But you know, that's the nature of all living things. In this physical world in which we have our life, all things that do have life are intended to grow. All things are intended to mature and reach perfection or completion. I don't know of anything that has been created by God that is living, whether it be plant or animal, that it stays in the same infant state that it always, or that it became a living thing. Everything grows, whether it be animal, whether it be plant. When a tree begins to grow, it starts from a very small beginning, and yet it can grow into, as some of us have seen in California, those giant redwoods that are out there. It can grow into something that is that big. There is always, within living things, the process of growing to maturity. Nothing is to be stagnant. Nothing is to digress. Nothing grows younger, or nothing goes to immaturity. Or it shouldn't be that way. The only one that I know of is in fiction, and that was Merlin. He grew younger. We don't do that. We grow older. We mature. We go toward perfection or completion. Again, we witness this among animals and among plants, and it is something that is present within us as human beings. God, in his infinite power and his wisdom and his love, has provided those things that are necessary for living things to reach maturity, whether it be plant or whether it be animal. Each animal needs certain things that contributes to its growth. Each plant and each animal is different, and they need many different things. But God has provided everything that is needful. Of course, we know there is a difference between plants and between animals. There are different needs with these things. But once again, God provides everything that is necessary for whether it be a plant or an animal to grow to maturity. Nothing that has life is without what is needed to survive and to grow to maturity. Now, through knowledge that we have gained as human beings, and through experiments and through experience, we have come to learn those things that we need to avoid if we are going to grow properly. But God has provided for us everything that is needed to reach maturity. And so it is with man, who has been created in the image of God. Christ says in Matthew chapter 6 and verses 26 through 30, he talks there about the birds of the heavens and the lilies of the field, how that these physical creation God cares for. And he provides for the birds of the field. He gives them the things that they need. The lilies of the field, as they grow, he provides for them also. He's trying to point out that God is going to care for us. He will provide for our needs. But unlike plants, and unlike every other animal and every other created thing that God has brought and given life to, we as human beings have a spiritual side. We have a spirit, we have a soul that never dies, but it also needs nourishment. It also needs food whereby we can grow. And God, in his power and in his wisdom and in his love for us, has provided for us everything that we need for that inner man to grow. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16, Paul, the inspired writer speaking to the Corinthians there, talks about the inner man and the outer man, how that the outer man is decaying day by day, but the inward man is being renewed day by day. As important as it is for the physical person to grow and to reach maturity, it is far more important for the inner person, for the spiritual individual, to reach maturity, to reach completion. Because we see the consequences of a failure in that is far greater. If we don't reach physical maturity, then that's just going to affect our life physically. It's going to affect the time while we are here. But sooner or later, that's going to come to an end. But if we do not grow spiritually, this is going to affect us throughout all eternity. Because we're going to stand before God when it should be time that we are complete in him. And we're going to have to give an account if we are not. Spiritual maturity is not something that is optional with us. A lot of people have that concept that it's okay if I grow spiritually and it's okay if I don't grow spiritually. That's going to be fine with God. It's fine with me, so it must be okay with him. This is something that is not optional. You know, it's not optional with us physically to think, well, if my child comes into the world and if he or she grows, then that's okay. If they don't grow, then that's okay also. If there is no maturing in that child, we want to find out what is wrong. That's not right. And God wants to know also within us, if we do not grow spiritually, what is wrong with us. Because you see, he has provided everything that is needed for the spirit of man to be complete. Nothing is lacking, nor does anything need to be added to what God has given unto us. As different as we are from one individual to another, the needs of the spiritual person stay exactly the same within all of us. Man doesn't have time, nor does man have the means nor the wisdom to experiment with what he thinks he might need spiritually. We don't have that time on this earth. God has provided for us everything that we need, and we need to trust in him. He will provide for us. We are his creation. We want to take just a few moments this morning to consider some of those things that are needed and that are provided by God for our spiritual growth. Some things that we need to avoid if we are going to grow properly, and some of those things that we need to partake of if we are going to reach perfection. We are going to, as the Hebrew writer says, go on to perfection. We know when one becomes a child of God, we know what an individual has to do. The Bible teaches to us in very plain language what that individual who's outside of the fold of safety, those conditions that they must comply with if they're going to be a child of God, if they're going to be born spiritually. The Word of God tells us that there are several things that the person does. Baptism, though, is the final step that puts one into Christ. Now, there are a lot of people in the religious world who will not go along with that. They think baptism is something that's non-essential unto our salvation. They teach that over and over and over again. And they say that it's not important. But we know that it is the final step that puts one into Christ. Now, none of the other steps are to be left out. We know that. It is important, it is necessary that we have faith in God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says it's impossible to please God without having faith. We must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Faith is necessary. Faith in God is the foundation upon which we build. But we don't stop there if we're going to reach maturity, if we're even going to be born into the family of God. Christ said in Luke chapter 13, verses 3, and also in verse 5, except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. Repentance is something that we have to do. We have to turn from a former way of life that was not pleasing in the sight of God, stop doing those things that are wrong, and turn unto Him. That's what repentance means. That's a necessary step if God is going to be pleased with us, if we're going to be in His family. Romans 10 and verse 10 talks about with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It is necessary for us to confess our faith in Jesus Christ. And then we are to be baptized for the remission of our sins. In Galatians chapter 3 and verses 26 and 27, Paul makes the statement to those that are there who are saints, those who are children of God, for you are all children of all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We put on Christ in baptism. We put to death the old man of sin. We rise to walk in a newness of life, as we're going to see in Romans 6 and verse 4 in just a few moments. This baptism is a birth. Just as any new creature is brought into the world through a birth, then that's the way that we are brought into God's spiritual kingdom, into His family, is by this birth. And baptism is this birth. In John chapter 3 and verse 5, we find Him talking to Nicodemus, making this statement, except a person be born of the water and the Spirit, they cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. It is a birth, of course. It brings us into that family, into that kingdom. And it is a beginning. It's not simply the conclusion of something, but it is also the beginning. It is a birth, just as any birth is the beginning. Now, some people act that the way that baptism really is kind of a final act. It is the completion of all God's plan of salvation for us. And that once we have been baptized, then that's really all that we have to do. Unfortunately, some who are supposed to be mature Christians have left that impression on some who are babes in Christ. Because it seems all important that we get an individual baptized into Christ, and then we kind of leave them alone, on their own. Of course, we would never do that to a physical child. Physical child is born into the world, we would never say, well, I've done my part now. The mother wouldn't do that. The father wouldn't. Say, I've done my part. I've brought them into the world, and now they're on their own. But we seem sometimes to do that with spiritual babes in Christ. But baptism is only the beginning. It is the ending of a certain way of life, but it is the beginning of another way of life. But with any birth, of course, as we know, growth is something that necessarily follows. Excuse me. It is true in the physical world, and it is no less true in the spiritual world. There are new things, or things that the new child is to do. We mentioned Romans chapter 6 and verse 4 just a few moments ago. But Paul here is talking about the baptism that takes place and what happens in that baptism in water. How that it is a likeness of the death of Jesus Christ, that as He died and was buried and rose again, we also do the same thing in baptism. There's not a physical death that takes place, but there is a spiritual death. Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Notice that last phrase. We should walk in newness of life. There is a new life now that we are embarking on. And it is a newness of life. Everything is new about it. That we have a new relationship with God. We are spiritually alive. That we are now should be attuned to the commandments of God. Those are the things that guide our life. Not our own lust. Not the desires of the world. But the Word of God. And so this shows us a newness of life. Old things have been done away with. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. Again, the Apostle Paul writes there, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Paul here, again, we notice that expression, seek those things that are above. Here has become a new way of life for us. As we were not children of God, we were alive to the world and dead unto God. Our minds and our lives and our hearts were attuned to things in this world. We wanted to be like others around about us. But when baptism, when that death and that birth takes place, now we seek those things that are above. He says, if you were raised with Christ, here again, what do you think he's talking about there? He's talking about baptism, just as Paul did in Romans 6 and verse 4, to be raised with Christ. And if that has happened, there's a newness of life now. You seek the things that are above. This is what we as children of God must do. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Peter here, just as Paul is talking about newborn babes, the birth has taken place. The old man of sin has been done away with. We are alive spiritually unto God. We're babes. And what do we desire? What we should desire is the pure milk of the Word of God. That's the thing that sustains us. And God has provided this for us. He wants us to grow to maturity. Again, I would turn your attention to Hebrews chapter 5 and those three verses that we mentioned just a few moments ago. Beginning in verse 12 down through verse 14, the inspired writer makes this statement, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. Here again is an admonition. They should have reached some kind of maturity, but they had not. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. He says here's this growth process. And God has provided everything that you need to grow. In the Word of God, there is milk for those that are babes. In the Word of God, there is solid food. There is meat for those who have grown past that childhood, we might say, and should be mature individuals in Jesus Christ. God provides this for us. Everything that we need spiritually, God has given to us. Again, just as in this life physically, he provides for us everything that we need to grow physically, he does it in the spiritual world also. We don't have to add anything to it. We certainly shouldn't take anything away from that. In this spiritual birth, again, there is a new creature. There is a new person that is brought forth in Ephesians chapter 4. In verses 22 through 24, once again, the inspired writer Paul, this time to the Ephesian saints, makes this statement, that you put off, concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt, according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man, which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. He says, you put off that old man. You need to. So that you can put on the new man, which has been created by God, or to been created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. And this is the way that we are to be. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, we find the inspired writer there saying, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Again, the emphasis here is upon what God has done for us. The things that He has provided for us so that we might be spiritually alive unto Him. There are certain things that we are to do as His children. And baptism is this new birth. And we are to grow by an application of the Word of God. This new man in Jesus Christ, as we said, is a new creature. God in His wisdom, once again, has provided all that is necessary for this new man. As any loving father would care for his children, God cares for us also. He cares for those that have been born into His family. Every one of us here this morning that have children, whether we be a father, whether we be a mother, we want the very best for our children. We love them. We brought them into this world. We want to provide for them the things that are necessary, the things that they need in order to be good citizens here, in order to be productive, in order to be pleasing in the sight of God. And we'll do everything that we can to provide those things for them. God's going to do exactly the same thing for us. He gives us what is needed for our growth. He warns us of those things that we must avoid if we are going to stay healthy spiritually. Once again, we find a parallel in the physical world in this. We are becoming, or have become, I guess, in the last generation, individuals more aware of the importance of physically eating right and of exercising. We have seen any number of diets come on the scene that tell us if you do this, you do that, then you follow this diet, you do this exercise, then you're going to be healthy. You're going to eat right. You're going to live longer. You're going to feel better. And through science and knowledge and experience, we have gained a great deal of knowledge about what foods are good for us, what foods are bad for us, things that the body needs and things that the body should avoid. Although we sometimes find conflicting reports on these things, we've gained a great deal of knowledge. We know, again, what's good and what is bad for us. And if we're going to embark upon a program to bring about better physical health to our life, we're going to follow probably the latest knowledge that comes along. We're going to engage in those things whereby we can gain better health. In our age, we're made aware that some things used to be considered good for us, that they're not good for us, or we have learned that, not so good as they were. Science reveals a better way. And, you know, this is something that is expected. We expect to grow in scientific knowledge in the world in which we live. God wants us to do that. God wants us to discover these things and make a better life for ourselves. Now, we can't take that same principle and apply it in the spiritual world because we can't improve on what God has done for us. We can't take the Word of God and improve and make it better. He has provided for us everything spiritually that we need. But if we have a goal in our life as a healthy lifestyle, there are things we're going to do and there are things that we are going to avoid. And so it is with our new spiritual life as children of God. Once again, God, through His mercy, through His grace, through His love, He has given us a new life. And that's a wonderful thing in itself. He's given us a new life. We, through our own sin, separate ourselves from God. But in God's love for us, He provides a new life. He gives us spiritual life. But it's not just life. It's eternal life. It's life everlasting. You know, we would be indebted to an individual who would save our physical life and maybe give us a few more years here on this earth. But God gives us more than that. He gives us everlasting life. He's provided that for us. And you know, this has been something that has been a goal of man for a long time. We find people down through history, stories told of individuals wanting eternal life, wanting life without end. People will go to all kinds of extremes to have it. They'll go to unusual extremes to think that they can gain everlasting or eternal life. In our history of this country, we find that an individual by the name of Ponce de Leon, and if you're from the South, it's Ponce de Leon, he is an individual that spent his life looking for something, looking for the fountain of youth, that fountain, that water where he could live forever. This has been a goal of man. And Jesus Christ provides that for us. He gives it to us. He provides for us, again, all the things that are necessary to this new life. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, that we have all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Nothing is left out. Nothing whatsoever is needed by us has God left out. Again, proving to us we don't need to add anything to his word. We don't need to take anything away from it. Those things that he has given for us, we are to partake of. And once again, those things that we are to avoid if we're going to grow to maturity. Once again, the inspired writer says, go on to perfection. And this is something that ought to be a goal of each and every one of us. There are certain things, as we've noted in the outline, that the new man is to avoid. Writing in Ephesians chapter 4 and 25 down through 32. Again, the inspired writer talks about some of these things. He says, therefore, putting away lying, each one speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ also forgave you. He points out here there's certain things that are necessary for us as new individuals in Jesus Christ to avoid. If we are going to grow to maturity, if we are going to proceed as God wants us to, there's certain things we got to stop doing that's connected with the old man of sin. Again, we've put him to death. We've got to stop doing these things. In Colossians chapter 3 and verses 8 through 13. Again, a short reading, but if you would. But now you must also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also must you do. The former way of life that the old man of sin was engaged in was a way of life that in many instances showed little regard for spiritual interest. Oh, there may have been some regard for spiritual interest, some relationship with Christ, but that was not enough. There was more interest in the physical things. There was more emphasis placed upon possessions in this life. The physical things took precedence. Spiritual things were perhaps handled if there was time for them and if there was not too much trouble to be involved with those spiritual things. But the old man of sin was one that was more interested in physical things. fulfilling their own desires. In this former way, we find that some or most may have not considered a lot of things as being sinful. They weren't sinful to them, so therefore it must have not been sinful unto God. And some of the things that this former man even engaged in was respectable, even though they were against the will of God. We find here in this former way of life, a life that of course was not pleasing in the sight of God. And in that former way of life, there were certain things that were done. And as Paul pointed out here by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that's the way this old man of sin engaged in life. That's the way that he or she was. And he points out lying, that is falsehood, misrepresentations, deceits. You know, we can lie in many ways. We can tell half-truths and we can lie. We can leave someone with a wrong impression and we can lie. We find that there are many ways. We can act in ways that are misleading. In Psalms 15 and verse 4, we find a wonderful admonition given by the psalmist concerning the individual who is pleasing in the sight of God. He says, concerning him, he who swears to his own hurt and does not change. You know, the old man of sin wouldn't live by that standard at all. If he said something that was going to hurt him, he would change his mind. He'd just simply lie about it. Not so the new man. In a former way of life, sometimes lies were used to protect us, but not so with the new man. The old man also would steal. Paul points these things out. Taking by unlawful means or by deceitful means. And once again, just as in lying, there's many ways that we can steal. And there is a closeness between lying and stealing. As we can lie by misrepresentation, we can steal by the same way. But the old man of the old man of sin and the world in which he lived thought lying and stealing was just a way of business. It was shrewdness in business and in the world. And everybody else uses that. But the old man, or the new man, does not do that. He points out corrupt communication. Again, the old man of sin engaged in that. We are to avoid these things as new individuals, new creatures in Jesus Christ. This corrupt communication, speech, that excites evil thoughts or evil reactions. Christ pointed out in Matthew 6, 20, 12 and 36 and 37, that every idle word that we speak, we will give an account for before God. He says also in Colossians 4 and verse 6, concerning the new man, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. That's the way the new man is. The old creature that we're supposed to have put to death lived one way, lived like this with corrupt communications. But we put to death that. We need to avoid it then. It's part of an old way of life. He speaks also of bitterness, of wrath and anger and clamor, of malice. All of these things were part of the life of the old man, that old creature that was separated from God. We as new creatures have to avoid this. He says, though, that we are to put on certain things. One of the things he speaks of in the very beginning is that of truth. As God is truth and as God hates a lying tongue, we have to speak the truth one to another. Always speaking the truth. There is no situation where sin or lying is justified. Now, the old man of sin wouldn't agree with that. The old man of sin says there's a situation, there are circumstances where I need to lie. If I'm going to protect myself or I'm going to protect others. But under no circumstances is sin justified. He also speaks, as we read, of honest labor, that which is directed by God. The old man of sin involved himself perhaps in dishonest labor, in gambling or whatever else it might be. The new man of sin doesn't do that. Of pure speech, that which is characterized by someone who is a child of God, by kindness, that's what he's supposed to do. Compassion, by forgiving. Far too many of us do not forgive. The old man of sin would not do that. He would not forgive, but the new man, the new creature in Jesus Christ, forgives, just as God has forgiven us. We need humility also. There's far too much pride in the world, in the old man of sin. Unfortunately, there's far too much pride in some who are children of God who need to put away this from their life. Pride will not allow us to admit wrongs. We have to admit wrongs, because if we're going to enter into heaven someday, we've got to forgive. We've got to ask for forgiveness from God. The new creature is one who is humble. We need to be long-suffering. We need to be patient. We need to bear up under very heavy burdens that come on to us in our life. That's what the new creature will do. There's some who give in far too easily to the pressures of this world. The new creature, though, is one who is humble, is one who is long-suffering. We could go on with the list that is provided for us in the Word of God. But the thing that we need to note is simply this. God has provided the spiritual needs for life. Our every spiritual need can be met by the Word of God. Whatever we want, however we want to grow spiritually in Jesus Christ, He wants us to grow also. He wants us to reach maturity. And it's provided for us in His Word. He's not left one thing out that is needful. What we must do is practice those things in our new life. Again, we've put to death the old man of sin. That old man of sin is separated from us. Again, that's what the word death simply means, is a separation. We've separated ourselves from that old man of sin. And we are to rise to walk in a newness of life. And in this newness of life, God's provided everything that we need. Again, we don't have to add anything to it. We don't have to take anything away from it. God gives us all. Why should we look anywhere else? Why should we look anywhere else for the things that we think we need? God's provided everything. Physically, He does, but most especially, spiritually, He does. Why go to the philosophies of men? Why go to our own desires, our own hearts, when God gives us everything that we need? We will find no more gracious and loving provider than God. Even we ourselves cannot provide for us greater or better than He does. And I challenge you, look to the world. Try to find somebody who's going to give you more than God. He will give you what you need in this life. And then He'll provide for you something that I'm sure, and I think I can make this statement without any contradiction. He can give you something that nobody else can. And that's everlasting life. If man could have everlasting life in this physical life, he'd have found it by now. God provides it for us. He gives it to us through His Son. Again, you will find no more gracious and loving provider than Him. Why not then come to Him? Why not be obedient unto His commands? If you're outside of the fold of safety, as we pointed out just a few moments ago, what's needed, and that is belief. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That you repent and turn from those things that are wrong. That you confess your faith in Jesus Christ. And that you're baptized for the remission of your sins. And in these simple steps that God has provided, and everybody can do them, you know, everybody can do every one of these things that God says. That's not hard at all. The hard part is overcoming our own pride and doing what God says. But everything is provided for us. And the steps of salvation are so very simple. Why don't you do it? And in doing this, you will find yourself putting to death that old man of sin, rising to walk in a newness of life, a new creature, a babe in Christ, ready to grow to maturity. This is what He wants for you and what He wants for me. This is why Jesus Christ died. He died on the cross of Calvary to provide us these things. Won't you take this opportunity? It may not come again. The song has been selected. We hope that you will make the right choice. Won't you come as we stand and sing?